Thank you very much. Baruch HaBoim. Good morning, everybody. Some of you may be aware that originally this year was supposed to have been given last Sunday, and the reason this topic was selected, because last Sunday, as you recall, was the day after Hanukkah. Hanukkah ended the last Motzei Shabbos. Shabbos is the last day of Hanukkah. And so one of the questions which people raise in conjunction with the Hanukkah is why there is no extra day of Hanukkah in Chutz Laaretz. Why would, the basic point last week would have been, why was it not Hanukkah? Why was there no ninth day of Hanukkah? Last week it snowed, so the program was canceled and was rescheduled for this week. So it's no longer directly relevant to us, I guess, in terms of Hanukkah. However, the question remains a question because it actually has pertinence to the fact that today is a Tainis Tzibur. Today is Asara B'Teves, and the question is, why don't we have an extra day of Asara B'Teves? I'm not advocating fasting for 2 days in a row, but maybe we should have a Sveik of the Yoma. So I think it's worthwhile just to look into, and it's a Hanukkah, Mr. Shem will come around again next year. The question comes up with regards to Purim and various other dates. I'd like to try and look and understand what it is that this extra day of Yontif that we observe is all about. We know that when it comes to Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, they have 7 days of Sukkot plus the 8th day of Shemini Atzeres. They have altogether 8 days of the holiday. In Chutz Laaretz, we have a 9th day because we split Shemini Atzeres. The second day we call Simchas Torah, but the 9th day we call Simchas Torah. But it's not a separate yontif. Simchas Torah is just officially the second day of Shemini Atzeres. That's why in the Kiddush and the Davening, we don't say Vatiten Lano Hashem Elokeinu Yom Simchas Torah Hazeh. He says Yom Shmini Chag Atzeres Hazeh on Simchas Torah as well, because it's just really the extra day of Simchas Torah, the extra day of Shmini Atzeres. We happen to split it up. Simchas Torah is a post Talmudic institution, so we kind of divide the day, but it's really just the second day of Shmini Atzeres. So we have 2 days of Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laaretz, a total of 9 days, the whole holiday of Sukkot. Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, of course, is 7 days. We have what we call around here Achron Shel Pesach, the 8th day of Pesach, an extra day. Shavuos in Eretz Yisrael is only 1 day, and we have 2 days. The reason it's different than Eretz Yisrael, it's not that they're different than us, we're different from them, because the Torah says that Sukkot is 7 days long, and the 8th day is Shmini Atzeres. The Torah says Pesach is 7 days long. The Torah says Shavuos is 1 day. We observe an extra day outside of Eretz Yisrael. So most of you know the background to this, but I think it might be worth at least from time to time looking over and understanding a little bit about the calendar, and we'll raise the question. So if that's true, that we have an extra day of Sukkot, we have an extra day of Pesach, we have an extra day of Shavuos, why don't we have an extra day of Hanukkah? Why don't we have an extra day of Purim? Why by the fast days shouldn't we have an extra day? Whatever caused the extra day by the Shalosh Regalim should cause an extra day here as well. So I'd like to look, if you have the pamphlet, the most concise, I think, the most simple review of these dinim appears in the Rambam. The Rambam, Kedarka Bakodesh, explains everything very, very clearly. And again, I think these are all things that people know, but I think from time to time it's worthwhile looking things over inside and understanding, gaining perhaps a little bit better an understanding of what exactly is going on. So the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, in the very first Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, points out that Chod She Hashona Him Chod She Alevon is the first source on the page. We're usually accustomed to thinking that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. It's based on the lunar month. That's true. Chod Sheh Hashanah, in terms of the month, the months are based on the Chod Sheh Levona. Shenema Olas Chodesh B'Chod, Olas Chodesh B'Chod Sheh, Benema Chodesh Elachem Rosh Chodoshim. Fine. Kach Omer Chachom, Heralo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe B'Mara HaNevua D'Mus Levona, V'Mono Kazera V'Kadesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe the moon, we refer to it the new moon, the old moon. It's the same moon, right? Whether it's a new moon or not, it's the same moon. The moon rotates around the earth, and it takes the moon 29 and a half days to go, roughly 29 and a half days in its revolution around the earth. So depending upon where the moon is in the sky relevant to the sun, we know the moon doesn't have any light of its own. The moon just reflects the light of the sun. How much light the moon reflects depends upon where it is in its cycle around the earth. So sometimes the moon is in a position where you could see what we call a full moon. That's when it's directly opposite the sun on that plane. So it bounces off. The whole moon bounces off the light of the sun. That's in the middle of the month. We call that a full moon. The truth of the matter is, the moon is the same no matter where it is. But in terms of our perception from Earth, so when the moon comes around, after, let's say, it's the full moon, then it gets smaller, comes to the very beginning again, there's a period of time we can't actually see the moon. Because the way the moon is set up in the sky, at that point, in between the sun and the Earth, there's no light that bounces off the moon. So the moon is not visible here from Earth. Of course, the moon is there, just that we can't see it. I mean, probably today there are instruments you can use to see it. But in terms of the average person standing on the ground, you can't see the moon. And then, as the moon continues in its circle, you see a little sliver. That's what we call for our purposes today anyway, there are a few more technical details, but that's what we call the molad, right? The first appearance of that sliver of the new moon. Then that sliver gets bigger and bigger as the moon goes around until it reaches the middle of the month, then it gets smaller, and that's the cycle it works. So the Rambam tells us that the chod she'ashana, the chod she'halavana. But then the Rambam adds something we don't think about. V'hashanim shana mechashim heim shnei achamon. In terms of the years, that goes by the solar cycle. So it's not entirely correct that people think that the Jewish calendar is based on the months. It's a lunar calendar. That's true, but that's not the whole truth. That's only part of the picture. Actually, the Jewish calendar is based both on the moon and on the sun. So in reckoning the months, that's a function of the moon as it rotates around the earth. As we just explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, when you see the moon in this position, that's the beginning of the new month. That's HaChodesh Delachem. But in terms of the years, it goes by Shnei HaChama. Why? Shenemar, Shomor, Eschodesh Aviv. Without going into great detail now, the Torah tells us that Pesach has to come in the springtime. Means after what we call the spring or the vernal equinox, the end of March. Pesach has to come after that point. Just to, again, to clarify, I know people know this, but it's good to review. The lunar cycle, if we think about it, let's assume it takes 29 and a half days for the moon to go around the earth. So that happens 12 times. 29 and a half times 12, I'll save you the math, you can check me up, but it works. It's 354. So a so-called lunar year is 354 days. We know, however, that the solar year, which is the amount of time it takes for the Earth to go around the Sun, which is a different cycle, that's 365, or to be more precise, 365 and a quarter. Again, a few minutes here and there, but 365 and a quarter. So roughly, that's an 11-day discrepancy. So that's why the lunar year is 11 days shorter than the solar year. That's a scientific fact. The lunar year of 12 months of the moon cycle around the Earth, 12 such months, is shorter than one cycle of the Earth going around the Sun by 11 days. So just by way of an example, it means if you're looking at the months, the Jewish date, so let's say Pesach. Pesach is the 15th of Nisan. So let's say 1 year, Pesach, the 15th of Nisan, coincides with the 15th of April on the solar calendar. The following year, Pesach will be 11 days early. The 15th of Nisan will be 11 days before the 4th of April, 11 days earlier, because you'll get back to the 15th of Nisan after 354 days, but that won't have brought you back to the 15th of April. You'll be 11 days off. Okay, that doesn't bother anybody, so it'll be April 4th. Yeah, but the following year, it'll be 11 days before that. The following year, 11 days before that. After a while, Pesach will be in the middle of the winter time, and that, the Torah says, it can't happen, because it says, Shomor is Chodesh Aviv. By the way, by the Muslim calendar, they operate strictly on the lunar calendar. They don't take into account the solar calendar at all. That's why if you ever paid attention, the month of, I don't know why you'd have to pay attention, but in case you ever noticed, the month of Ramadan, their holy month, can occur at any time during the course of the solar year. I remember once I was in Eretz Yisrael as a kid, so it was they made a big tumult. It was the month of Ramadan in August. A few years later, I was in Eretz Yisrael in May, and again, what's going on here? It was Ramadan. I thought it was in the summertime. No, it's not at any particular time. Their years are shorter. That's why Arabs age faster than Jews, because their years are shorter. I think someone calculated that if you have an Arab and a Jew, a Muslim and a Jew, are born the same day, so they keep their years, the Muslim will turn 34 on the day that the Jew turns 33. Right? They age faster than us because their years are shorter. We also take care that we also follow the lunar year, but we follow the lunar year and we adjust it to match the solar year. Okay, but that's a different discussion. That's what the Rambam is talking about here. In Halacha Daled, the Rambam writes, next to Halacha Daled, Chodesh yeh tisha v'esim yom v'yera harech b'leil shloshim nikra chodesh chaser v'lo yera harech v'yach chodesh ashavah shloshim nikra chodesh me'ubar. So it's 29 and a half days. The Gemara tells us, the Rambam doesn't mention here, but the Gemara tells us it's 29 and a half days. It's not precise, but for our purposes, good enough. 29 and a half, 29 days and 12 hours. After 29 days and 12 hours is the next month. But we don't start a month in the middle of the day. You don't change the calendar in the middle of the middle of a day. So it has to be a full day. So every Jewish month will have at least, will have 29 days, that's for sure. The question is, when is the next month going to begin? So the Rambam tells us sometimes the next month begins the very next day. So if today we're the 29th of the month, so tomorrow would be one of two things. It'll either be the first of the new month tomorrow, or it'll be the 30th of the old month. That's the only possibility. Because it's 29 and a half days. Every Jewish month is 29 days or 30 days long. Never less, never more. In our calendar. Now, they don't have like 31 days, like we have in the solar calendar, at certain months, we're now in December, there's going to be a December 31st this week, right? Certain months, January, right? 30 days, however the poem goes, 30 days have September, whatever. So we have certain months with 30 days in the solar calendar, certain months with 31, and they have February as 28. There's no such, you don't have that kind of thing in the Jewish calendar. It's either 29 days or it's 30 days, never less, never more. So the Rambam says, if the month ends up being a 30-day month, meaning The maneuver, we'll see in a second how it happens, but the 29 and a half days is quote-unquote rounded up to 30. That's what we call that month is called a mole month, a full month. It's a full month. If not, it's called a chodesh choser, right? If it's called the other month, if it's 29 days, it's missing. It's not missing in full, just expressions that we use to explain it. What does it depend upon? So we know, those who studied the Mishnayos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah know, have learned, so it depends whether the moon is visible on that particular night or not. The Rambam tells us in Halacha Hey that Ein Re'iyas Hayarech Nesu L'chol Adam, it's not up to every person to make the decision, for example, as one does with regards to Shabbos. Shabbos is very simple. They have 6 days and the seventh day of Shabbos. You don't need to be a great mathematician. You don't have to have a great halachic insight. You count 6 days and the seventh day of Shabbos. Finish. Anybody can keep track of it. However, when it comes to the months, it's up to Beis Din, the Rambam tells us, again, based on a pasuk, a chodesh zelachem, you learn out that it has to do with Beis Din. And the Rambam writes in Halacha Vav, Beis Din mechashvin becheshbonos, kederech shemechashvin et stagninim. The Beis Din had a whole calculation, like the astronomers figure out. They could figure out the cycle of the moon. If you've ever looked in the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, in the back, at the end, there are all kinds of pictures. I'm not a mathematician, but you know, those who are mathematically or scientifically inclined, astronomically inclined, can see very fascinating pictures. People have written Svarim of Chaim Kanievsky, Bnei Brak put out a sefer, and others have put out a sefer. I have something at home with a collection of three volumes of 18 different Svarim on the cycle of the moon, how it works, the calculation. All the ancients, those who studied ancient history, all the ancients had the calculations to figure out the moon and going around the earth. Today, of course, we have more precise instruments, but the ancients all tried to observe and figure out how these things work. So the Rambam says that Beis Din had such a cheshbon, and basically, without reading inside now, the Beis Din would assume that tonight the new moon is going to be visible. But the Torah declares, and the Gemara learns out, that it has to be that people saw it. It wasn't just that they knew mathematically that it's supposed to be. They knew when it was supposed to come, but it wasn't just a mathematical calculation. You needed to have what we call Kiddush al pi ha-re'iyah, that people have to see the first sliver of the new moon. And then these people, these Edom, would show up in Beis Din, and they would testify before Beis Din, yes, we saw the moon. Then the Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah describe how the Beis Din would question the person, did you really see it? Maybe it was a shooting star. Maybe it was a comet. Did it look like this? What part of the sky was it in? Where was it? Just to make sure that people, A, weren't intentionally faking. Or even if they weren't intentionally faking, maybe they made a mistake. Maybe it was just some kind of they saw Halley's Comet or something like that, and they thought it was the new moon. So the Gemara has, the Mishnayos have, various questions that were asked of the Edom to make sure that they were telling the truth. So if, let's say today is the 29th of the month, so if tonight the moon would be visible outside, so some Edom would see it, they'd come to Beis Din first thing tomorrow morning, they would report to Beis Din, we saw the sliver of the new moon last night, and the Beis Din would question, make sure that they're reliable people, and they're Shomrei Shabbos, and whatever else, and that they knew what they were talking about, and if they did, then the Beis Din would declare Mekudosh, Mekudosh, and that day, tomorrow, let's say today, Sunday, was the 29th of the month, so tomorrow morning, the Beis Din would declare, today is Rosh Chodesh, today is the first of the month. And the outgoing month would then have been declared a Chodesh Choser, like the Rambam said before, a shorter month. And today would be tomorrow, Monday would be Rosh Chodesh, and we'd move forward. What if no Edom came? What if no Edom came that night? Let's say it was cloudy. They didn't see, it was clear, but they didn't see the moon. So then tomorrow would automatically become the 30th of the old month, and Rosh Chodesh, the first of the next month, wouldn't be till Tuesday. And when you have that, the outgoing month is called Mole, a full month, 30 full days. So again, there's only two possibilities, 29 days or 30 days, depending upon Edom. But as the Rambam tells us, this was all that Beis Din knew when to expect the Edom. They knew when the Edom would come. For example, they knew that if tonight it wasn't supposed to be, let's say they knew from calculations that tonight you're not supposed to see it, and Edom came tomorrow morning and said, we saw it, so either they shek it, they're fakers, or they just got mixed up and so on. The Beis Din knew what to expect. But it's always 29 days or 30 days, and that's how, by the way, just as an aside, that's how we have 1 day Rosh Chodesh or 2 day Rosh Chodesh. Some months we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. When do we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? When the outgoing months is a mole. When the outgoing month has 30 days, that's when the new month has two days of Rosh Chodesh. When you ever have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, day one of Rosh Chodesh is the 30th of the old month, and day two of Rosh Chodesh is the first of the new month. That's what we observe it as 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Again, assuming today is Sunday the 29th, tomorrow, it's not, it's Asar B'Tevis, but let's assume that it was 29th of the month today. Tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh for sure. Either it'll be day 30 of the outgoing month or day 1 of the new month. If it's day 30 of the outgoing month, then the new month has 2 days Rosh Chodesh. If it's day 1 of the new month, then the new month only has 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. But that's how the 1 day, 2 day Rosh Chodesh came into play. Good. So that's what the Rambam tells us here in Halacha Zayin, the end of the first source. Mitzvah Saseh min HaTorah al Bezdin sheyechashu v'yeidu m'yira harecha lo yira. Lo yira, yira. This is a mitzvah saseh min HaTorah that the Bezdin has to be involved, not just the interesting scientific calculations. It's a mitzvah saseh min d'oraisa for the Bezdin to calculate this and to know when the holidays will be and when Rosh Chodesh will be and so on. Now, so let's assume, okay, we have a particular month. The Bezdin knew when to expect the moon. The Edom showed up. They questioned them. They were found to be reliable people. We trust them. Good. So now we're going to declare, let's say tomorrow, in our example from before, let's say today's the 29th. So tomorrow is going to be declared the first of the new month. And we move forward from there. Now you have an important question. So the Bezdin knows about it. And maybe some Jews hanging around Yerushalayim, know about it. But how about notifying the rest of the public about it? You have to let people know, especially if there's a, let's say the month we're talking about is Nisan. So it matters whether tomorrow is the first of the month or the 30th of the old month is going to, the function of that is going to be when it's Pesach, right? Or whatever, if there's a Yontif that month. So people have to know. Okay, again, if tomorrow was day 30 of the old month, we'd call it Rosh Chodesh. But if you're writing a Ksuba, let's say, or some other document, you'd write 30th of the old month, Shehu Rosh Chodesh, but the date is the 30th. So whether tomorrow is the 30th, or Tuesday is the 1st, or tomorrow is the 1st, obviously that impacts, if there's a Yontif that month, obviously impacts when Yontif is going to land. See, that's what the Rambam contrasted before. When it comes to Shabbos, it's every 7 days is Shabbos, period. Every 7 days. It doesn't matter which day of the month, every 7 days is Shabbos. We, the Bezdin, play no role in determining when it's Shabbos. That's what the Gemara explains. That's why on Shabbos, when we make a bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei or in Kiddush, the text is, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Right? You ever notice that on Yontif, it's Mekadesh Yisroel V'Hazmanim. Or on Rosh Chodesh, Mekadesh Yisroel V'Rosh Chodoshim. Mekadesh Yisroel V'Yom HaZikaron V'Roshem. Mekadesh V'Yom HaKippurim. How come on Shabbos, why not say Mekadesh Yisroel V'HaShabbos? So the Gemara explains, because when it comes to Shabbos, Yisroel, the Jewish people, have no determination, they have no role in determining. HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone is the Mekadosh Shabbos. It's automatic. It's every 7 days, starting from Shesh Shnei Bereishis. We don't play a role. Masha'enu came the holidays, the Yomim Tovim. It's true the Torah gives us the calendar date, yes. But when that calendar date will actually fall is a function of when Bezdin determines in that particular month Rosh Chodesh is. So that's why Bezdin plays a role. That's why we say Mekadesh Yisroel Rosh Chodesh, Mekadesh Yisroel V'Azmanim. Okay, so how do you notify everybody? So the Rambam says, based on Mishnah, again, these are all Mishnahs and Gemaras, but the Rambam presents everything succinctly and clearly. In Parag Gimel of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh Halacha Ches, the Rambam writes, "Barishona kishu mekachin bezin, kishu bezin mekachin haChodesh haMasiyin Masuos b'Rosh Ha'Harim kidei sheyedu harachokim." Had a whole system of sort of like smoke signals. They would have a system of lighting fires on the mountaintops, various specific mountains, and when people saw those fires, they knew that that day had been proclaimed Rosh Chodesh. The first place was, and the Gemara actually lists what the mountains are. We know today, or I think they assume today, where they know where certain of those mountains were. I remember traveling once from Yerushalayim up north to Tiberia, and there's a certain mountain in Sartaba. That was one of the mountains that's listed in the Mishnah. So what happened was, Bezdin would send people up to a mountain right outside Yerushalayim, right by Har HaTzofim, right outside Yerushalayim, and they would light these torches, the Mishnah described what they made out of, and they would wave it in different directions, sort of like a lulav. They would wave it in different directions, and then the people on the next mountain, they would see that, so they'd light their fire, and the people on the next mountain, pretty soon everybody knew about it, a very quick system, in the absence of texting and various other modern methods of communication, that was the system that works. However, as the Rambam goes on to say, and the Mishnah says, there were wise guys who messed up the system, and they caused trouble for whatever the reason, Tzdukim, and others who had differences of opinion with the Rabbanim about the holidays and about the calendar. We don't have to go into the historical details now, but they would send a guy up on the wrong night. It was really the previous night, or it was, again, you can't be off by more than one day, but they would send somebody up to a mountain, a rogue smoke signal guy, and he'd go up and he'd light the fire. So the guy on mountain number two, he can't see the people on mountain, he doesn't know, he sees a sign, so he puts things and mixed everybody up. So they had to abolish that system, and they had to put into operation the Pony Express. That they had to send out messengers. That's what the Rambam tells us. They would send out shluchim, official agents of the Bezdin with a special document or something that identified them as agents of the Bezdin. They would ride by horse, a donkey, a camel, however they traveled, and they went to the different towns all over, and they declared, Rosh Chodesh was declared on Monday, Rosh Chodesh was declared on Tuesday, whatever it was that happened. Now that's all very well and good if you live in a place where these shluchim made it. What if you lived far away? What if you lived in a place, and again, without communication, you couldn't do the fire system, and let's say it was in a month where there was a lot of rain, so the roads, such as they had roads, are difficult, and it was hard for the shluchim bezin. Shluchim bezin never got there. So the Rambam tells them, Alach Yud Aleph, Kol mokom shehu shluchim magin hayu osin es hamoados yom tov echad kakosu b'torah. Whenever the shluchim got there, so those towns, those communities, would have, if it was a month where there was a yontif in it, they would make the yontif exactly the way the Torah says. So if it was the month of Nisan, they got the news that Rosh Chodesh had been declared, let's say, in our example, on Monday. So they knew, they counted Monday was the first, and Tuesday's the second, Wednesday's the third, etc., until they got to the 15th. They knew when Pesach was, and they kept it exactly the way the Torah says. Good, no problem. However, says the Rambam, Umekomos harachokim she'ena shulchem magin alei. And again, this is Perek Gimel of Hilchos Kiddush Chodesh Halacha Yud Aleph. The faraway places where the shulchem never got there, so they never knew. They were never sure when Rosh Chodesh had been declared in the Bezin Yerushalayim because the agents never got there. Consequently, hayu osim shnei yomim mipnei asofek lefi she'enam yodim yom shakavu bo Bezin Rosh Chodesh eze yomu. They didn't know. So again, they knew we'd only be off by one day. And you can also observe the moon yourself, but they weren't sure. When did Bezin declare Yom Tov? Monday or Tuesday? So you better observe both days. You're talking about Pesach and Isser of eating chametz, right? And you have to have a Seder and so on. So they observed two Siddurim. They had two Siddurim. They had an extra day. That's the origin of the extra day. It was a Suffolk that they didn't know in those towns when Rosh Chodesh had been declared. So they had no choice. They'd be there, Suffolk. You're dealing with Sfeika Doraisa. So they observed their 2 days. We better sit in the Sukkah tonight because who knows? Maybe it was, maybe Rosh Chodesh was declared on whatever day. And so therefore tonight is Sukkah. You better eat in the Sukkah. So that's how you got the concept, so to speak, originally of the extra day. The Rambam writes on Halacha Yud Beis, he tells us that there were certain places where maybe the agents got there in Nisan but didn't get there in Tishrei. It wasn't like the Eidim had the same route that they followed every single time. They always got, you know, there were factors. The roads were bad or whatever. You know, you never knew when they got there. So some towns, the Suchei Nisan, Nisan's in the springtime, so maybe the streets are, you know, are cleaner or whatever it is. But sometimes the Suchim got there and the Suchim in Tishrei didn't get there and so on. So basically the Rambam says you have to be consistent, sort of like a low plug. And he says at the very end, I just threw this in, afilu yom tov shalatzeres, even Shavuos. Why does the Rambam say even Shavuos? Because Shavuos isn't really a function of the calendar. Shavuos, we know, is the 50 days after Pesach. You count the Sfiras Omer, right? So it doesn't matter if once you heard when Pesach was, so you can count the Sfira, 49 days, the 50th day, it doesn't matter whether the Shluchim got there. We observe Shavuos on the 6th of Sivan, but the Gemara says it wasn't always on the 6th of Sivan. The Torah never says a date for the holiday of Shavuos. The Torah just says Shavuos is after 49 days from Pesach. Day 50 is Shavuos. That's all it says in the Torah. It never gives a calendar date. In fact, the Gemara says that Shavuos was Pa'amim Behei, Pa'amim Bebab, Pa'amim Bezayin. Sometimes Shavuos was the 5th of Sivan, sometimes the 6th of Sivan, sometimes the 7th, depending on whether the intervening month, Nisan and Iyar, were Malay months or Chaser months. Were they both Malay or both Chaser, one and one? That's, you do the math, you can figure out. It didn't matter what the calendar date was. So you could say by Shavuos, everybody knew when Pesach had been, so everybody should observe only one day. But we have what we call a low plug. We don't distinguish if they kept 2 days of one yontif, they kept 2 days of everything. All of this is the background information in terms of the structure, if you will, of the calendar. But now the Gemara raised an interesting question, source 3. And here's where the fun starts. The Gemara in Beitza, Davdalam al Beis, source 3, raised the following question. Itmar, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shol Golios. By the way, of course, today we have a fixed calendar. That's what the Gemara is going to bring up. Today there's no doubt. You want to know when Pesach is, so go to your refrigerator, look at the calendar, and I'll tell you when Pesach is. We know just as well as in Eretz Yisrael what day it is. Right? There's no doubt, and we're not waiting for any messengers or anything. We know when it is. It's all pre-calculated. You can figure out right now. You want to know when Rosh Chodesh Adar will be in the 72 years from now, so that you can figure it out. What day it'll fall out on the calendar. You can figure everything out. Even without a computer. With a computer, it's just faster. We know it's all been pre-calculated. But the Gemara raises the Shnei Yom Tovim Shal Golios. These 2 days, what they call two Yom Tov in Golos. Golos means the places outside of Eretz Yisrael, the faraway places that never necessarily got the message from the Shluchei Bezdin, from the agents of Bezdin. So they call it Yom Tov Shnei Shal Golios. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the status of those 2 days? Meaning, is it like one big Yom Tov? Let's say 2 days, we'll use Shavuos as an example. Okay, if 2 days of Shavuos, it's like one big Yom Tov? Or no, they're two separate days. What do you mean? So the Gemara has a rule, without going to technicalities, now that's what Maseches Beitzah is about, those who've learned to know that if a chicken hatches an egg on Yom Tov, she cannot eat the egg on that day, for various reasons. Not allowed to eat the egg. The egg is muktzah. Again, without going into the details now. The Gemara wants to know, okay, but what if it was the chicken hatched the egg on the first day of Yom Tov, first day of Shavuos in our example, can you eat it on the second day of Shavuos? That's the question. How do we look at that second day? Is it like one big day? You may have heard of the term Yom Arichta, like one big long day? Is that what it is? Is it no the Rav Amar, no the Zemu Teres Bezer? Rav says no. It was born on one day, it's Mutter the next day, because they're considered two separate days. Hagam, we observe them both as Yontif, but they're considered two separate days. Rav Asi Amar, no the Bezer Asura Bezer. It's like Kedusha Achas, it's one sanctified day. Ask the Gemara, Lema Kasova Rav Asi Kedusha Achasi? Yeah, Rav Asi really holds it's one Kedusha. Ha Rav Asi Mavdil Miyom Atav Lachavre. Rasi made Havdalah. It's also an interesting question. Pesach, or Shavuos in our example, right? So after the first day is over, should you make Havdalah the first night? The funny thing, you make Havdalah, but you're going to make Kiddush, because you're going to keep the separate day. But Rav Asi apparently made Havdalah as well, because really Yontif maybe is over. Maybe Yontif ends. I have to make Havdalah. On the other hand, maybe tomorrow is Yontif, so I better make Kiddush. So Rav Asi did it. The Gemara explains, Rav Asi Sukkah Misapleh, he wasn't sure. And therefore, Aver Hachal Chumer, Hachal Chumer, he viewed it as two separate days in that he made Havdalah after the first day. On the other hand, in terms of the Beitza, he considered like one long day, because maybe that's it. Rav Asi wasn't sure what the din was. That's how Rashi explained. What's the suffix? So Rashi explains in source 4, what was it that the Chacham did? Im chok Chachamim hu shehuto al agolius ledoros, okay? Vafilu yirbo behem Chacham yodo itim yosin osan shnayim? Im ken harei medibri sofim kiyom oro. Okay, is that, how do you look at the second day of Yom Tov? Did the Rabbanan make a takana? And that's it. It doesn't matter. You can be the biggest expert in astronomy. You can figure out exactly and know. Or in our time, you have a calendar on your refrigerator that tells you, it doesn't matter. Kach tiknu chachamim. That's what Rav Asi thought. Maybe it was a rabbinic takana to observe the second day, to observe an extra day. And that's it. It doesn't matter what you know, what you don't know. Kach tiknu chachamim. They made that takana. If you look further in the Gemara, just look at the last line. The Gemara says, "Vahashta the adinan," because the Gemara asks against the Rav, but "Vahashta the adinan mekviya the archa my time of adinan treyome." By the Gemara's time already, they knew the calculation. Okay, without going into details, but in the days of Abaye and Rava, which is parallel to the days in Eretz Yisrael of Hillel Hasheni, not Hillel from Beis Hillel, but a descendant of his, Hillel Hasheni, Hillel the Second, that's when they calculated everything mathematically and they set the calendar that we still observe today into operation. Interested in how the calendar works, look at the end of the tour, very complicated, the tour at the end of Hilchus Kiddush HaChodesh, or end of Aruch Chaim, has a whole calculation of how the years work. It was all pre-calculated, around the year 350 or so of the Common Era, the days of Abaye and Rav, and Bava Hillel Hasheni in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so the Gemara says, the Gemara is written after that, the Gemara says, Hashto the Ad Inan Bekviya the Yarcha, now that we know the calendar, we're not waiting today, there's no witnesses with moons, we're not interested in that. We know the calendar, we know when Rosh Chodesh is. So my time of Abdin and Treyomi, so why do we continue today to observe? It's an old question, a common question, especially if you have Israeli relatives that come to America. What's going on? What do you have an extra day of Yantif for? What do we, that doesn't make any sense. We know when Pesach is, we know when Sukkot, everybody knows. It's in the, you can figure it out and it's printed on the calendar. So what are we keeping an extra day for? And that's like, the second day, not so important. Says the Gemara, Mishum de Shalchum Itam, they sent a message, Hizoru bin Minag Avosechem Biyedchem, Bidechem, Kazim in the Gozui, Ashmad of Asel Kukule, the Chacham in Paskin, Hizoru bin Minag Avosechem Bidechem. Despite the fact that you know, despite, like Rashi said, despite the fact that you're aware, the Chacham made a takana to keep the old Minag. If you came from a place, and for our purposes, that's how the Ritva writes, that Eretz Yisrael is the dividing point. Eretz Yisrael, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you keep one day outside of Eretz Yisrael, that's the dividing point. Now there's a further question, what do you consider Eretz Yisrael? For example, my father was once going to Eilat. My father lives in Eretz Yisrael now, so he was going to Eilat for Chol HaMoed on Pesach, and I said to him, he told me, I said, don't ask me how many days of Yom Tov I think you should keep in Eilat. I said, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you, because it's all machlokas about it. It's a question, is Eilat considered part of Eretz Yisrael for that purpose, or is it not? You know, where the borders are, so that's a whole different question. But be that as it may, Eretz Yisrael, that's the Bitvar rights, was considered to be the dividing point. The Rambam has a different sheet, but for our purposes, that's what it is. Eretz Yisrael is the dividing point. So outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, they said, keep the old minig. If you kept 2 days, continue to keep 2 days. We know when it is? Okay, so we know what it is. We continue to observe it anyway. There's an interesting question. What is the status then of the second day? Is it a din derabbanan? Is it a minig? The Gemara says, "Hizaru b'minig avoseichem yideichem." Keep the old minig. So, what is our observance of the second day of Yontif? Let's say second day of Sukkot or Simchas Torah or last day of Pesach, etc. What is that? Is it a minig or a din derabbanan? So, the Rambam, first we'll take a look in Hilchos Kodesh Kiddush HaChodesh. The Rambam says, first, he just gives that background again. Source 15, Perek Hey, Halachos Dalet Tuvav. The Rambam Kishahoysus and Hedun Kayemes Vein Kovan Al Pira Iya Al Riya Hayu Bnei Eretz of a Chol Makom Shvigilam Shulchei Tishrei Osin Yom Tom Yom Echad Bavad. Right, like we said before, when the Bezin was in charge, they sent out messengers. If you got there, you kept 1 day. If not, you kept 2 days. However, Halacha Hey was to summarize Bizman Azeh Shein Shom Sanhedrin Ubeis Shartzol Kovan Al Cheshbon Zeh Hayu Min Adin Shu Chol Makom Osin Yom Tom Echad Bavad Afilo Makom Osor Chokos. Logically, says the Rambam, we in Chutz Lord should keep the same thing as in Eretz Yisrael. We know when it is. Everybody relies on the same cheshbon. Whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or live in New York, it's the same cheshbon. So why do we have to keep an extra day? Avo, says the Rambam, takonas chachomimu. Takonos chachomimu. It's a takon of the chachom. Gzer drabonon. She is haru b'minog avoseim shibedeim. To keep. Keep both days as to maintain the minig. Okay? And that's what the Rambam says the next thing as well. He's the last line, he says, it's midivrei sofrim. So the Rambam seems to understand that it's a din derabbanan. It was a rabbinic institution to keep an extra day, even though today we are fully cognizant of when Yontif is, when Rosh Chodesh is. No, because everything is done al pi acheshbon based on this calculation. Okay? The Rambam writes, however, in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph, source number 6, Zeh Shanu Osim B'chutz La'aretz Kol Yom Tov Me'elu Shnei Ayamim Minigu. And Hilchos Yontif, the Rambam calls it a minig, calls it a custom. Okay, but then he says, V'yom Tov Sheni Midivrei Sofer Hu. But then he says, Rabbanan. So you have to try and figure out, what does he mean? So the pashtus is, the Rambam might be saying anyway, that it seems to be saying it's a din derabbanan to keep the minig. You know, the original practice was something that they had to do because they were in doubt, and that took the force of a minig, and then the Rabbanan declared to keep the minig. So you can argue back and forth what the Rambam is saying. The truth of the matter is, that the, and it's the same thing in source number 7, the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Vav Halacha Yudalet, talks about people who were, get put in cheirim. Doesn't mention about publishing controversial books, but he does say in Yud Aleph, number 11, Hamachala Yontav Sheni Shel Goyos Afal Pishu Minig. Again, he uses the term minig. I'm going to use the term minig. What's the difference? It's a minig or din derabbanan. So again, the Lechem Mishnah, not Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, says it's a minig which is less than divrei sofrim. It's less than derabbanan. Right, the Rabbanan is a higher thing. What difference does it make? So you have to, it'll make the difference, perhaps, in the following kind of case. Was the Takana the Rabbanan? If you hold that it's Mamish a Takana the Rabbanan, so then there are no leniencies whatsoever to talk about with regards to the second day as opposed to the first day. They made a Takana the Rabbanan to keep a second day of Yontif. It's not going to be as strict as the first day because not the Oraisa, but the Rabbanan said, treat the second day as if it were the first day. Again, if you hold it's a minig, so a minig, perhaps we could argue, maybe there are certain leniencies that can come out. Maybe we can, we can present it as though the Rabbanan said keep the minig. We don't have to be stricter than others were. So that's perhaps is a difference whether you call it a Rabbanan, din Rabbanan, or a minig. Tosus in Sukkah, in the ninth source, says an interesting question. Tosus wonders, how can you call it a minig? Don't we make Kiddush and don't we say brachas on Yontif Sheni? Don't we say a bracha on let's say, Rosh Hashanah may be different, Kishof for the second day, or we say a bracha on Halal, you could say on Chol HaMoed too, although not on Pesach, we say a bracha, okay? Do we say a bracha on Kiddush, right? We say the Yontif Tikkun Davening, the Yontif Tikkun Shemona Esrei. Usually, Tosus posits, we don't make a bracha on Minhagim. Tosus there in the Sukkah is talking about the minhag of the Aravos on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. It's only a minig, so we don't make a bracha. So Tosus says, Kavasei Ashkechan Mevarchim Ashnei Yomim Tovim Shol Goyos Ein Ala Minig Ba'alma. Tosus says, well, wait a minute. Not so fast that we don't make a bracha on a minig. Maybe we do make a bracha on minhagim. After all, says Torah, Tosus, we make a bracha on Yantav Sheni, and that's only a minig. So if you hold it to Dindu Rabbanan, that's not a question. Dindu Rabbanan, we make a bracha. We just had Chanukah. We made a bracha every night of Chanukah. Chanukah is only Dindu Rabbanan. It's not in the Torah. Right? Many Dindu Rabbanan. Tilus Yadayin, many Dindu Rabbanan, we make a bracha on. So if you hold it to Dindu Rabbanan, so the Torah, the Gemara says in Shabbos with regards to Chanukah, we have to listen to the Chachamim, and we have to observe the rabbinic laws, and they learn it out from a pasuk. Because the Gemara asks, how can you say with regards to Chanukah, Brocha, Asher Kiddushanu, Mitzosav Vitzivanu, that God commanded us? What do you mean He commanded us? He never commanded us to light Chanukah candles. Where's there a pasuk? Show me a pasuk that says you have to light Chanukah candles. No such pasuk. You want to tell me Asher Kiddushan Tzavitzvano Alachilas Matzah? I can show you a pasuk that says you have to eat matzah. How do you say Asher Kiddushan Tzavitzvano to light Chanukah candles? It's not in the Torah. The answer is the Torah says to listen to the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan made a takana, then we have to listen to them. So indirectly, if it's Ivano, applies to Ner Chanukah too. That's and all the Rabbanans. So if it's a Rabbanan, we understand making a bracha. But if something's only a minig, we don't usually make a bracha on something that's a minig, do we? That's what Tosafot discusses. Tosafot, well, maybe not so fast. Maybe we do. What's the proof? Yantav Sheni. We make Kiddush the second night of Yantav, even though it's only a minig. And then Tosafot says, maybe it's not a raya. Okay, so the Ran, for example, there in Sukkah, disagrees. He says, not true. You can't prove. Tosafot wants to prove them there that sometimes we do make a bracha on a minig. The Ran says, what do you mean? It's not a minig. It's a din de Rabbanan. The Ran said, no raya from there. I'll be called Mokom Raya, source 10. Raya, so any makir. I don't accept this proof. It's a takana. It means there are binik law. I can't prove from there we make a bracha on a minig. So you see the Rishonim is a tumulzich, whether the Yantav Sheni is a minig, it's a drabonim, and that's in one of the nafkaminas with regards to the bracha. The Balamor, in the next source, calls it a minig. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, if you look in number 12, in the Tshuvas, Mincha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says, V'afshu nikar b'shem Yantav Sheni, mikol mokom chalila lachshov sheish b'emes, od yom nosaf shu yantav. He crystallized that it's not that it's an extra day of yantav, that's something new. Okay, and the kiddush she'ose gam b'yantav shenu element neha minig, she'tiknu chacham rosum ki'ilu heim osam achshav ha'kiddush she'yantav rishon. What he says basically is that the takar of the chachamim was to extend Yontif, meaning the Kiddush that you make the second night of Yontif is a completion, if you will, of the Kiddush the first night of Yontif. Not a separate entity. It becomes like one unit based on a Takana Drabbanan. And he said, don't get thrown off by the term Minig. Good. So all of that illustrates that we keep, when it comes to the Yom Tovim, we keep an extra day. Now we understand the background. We have a Machlokes, whether it's a Minig, whether it's a Drabbanan. Okay, for us, for those of us observant Jews, we keep the second day of Yom Tov, whether it's a Minig, whether it's a Drabbanan. We keep it the same. You can argue back and forth. These were shown that I showed you, tumul about it. The question is, again, so what happens, and again, I'm going to use Chanukah as an example. We just had Chanukah, and again, this year was originally supposed to be last week, the day after Chanukah. What happens to Chanukah? After all, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, that's source number 13, the Mishnah says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that there were several, the shluchim didn't go half, these agents from Bezin didn't go have to go out every month. It was only if there was a holiday in that month. In other words, you got to let the people know when the holiday is going to be. But certain months don't have any holidays. So one of the things that Mishnah lists, you can take a look in Source 13, Al Nisan Mipnei Pesach, and Nisan they went out because of Pesach, Al Av Mipnei Tainis, Tisha B'Av, right? Al Elam Nei Rosh Hashanah, Al Tishmei Takanas HaMoed, Sukkos, Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah. One of the months that the agents did go out was the month of Kislev to let the people know when it's going to be Chanukah. So therefore, the question comes up, so Taka, the outlying lands, the Edom, the Shluchim rather, never got there, should have to keep an extra day. Should have had to keep in those an extra day of Chanukah. It came to the 25th of Kislev, and they didn't hear when the first of Kislev was. So I don't know, maybe tonight's the first. We better light Chanukah candles tonight. Right? So shouldn't they have had to keep an extra day of Chanukah? Now some want to claim, there was a great Talmud Chacham in the last century, in the middle of the last century, Reuven Margolios. But a lot of very fascinating works. There was a great, tremendous Bucky. I think he was a librarian in a great Judaic library in Tel Aviv. And he had access to a lot of Svarim, and he had many of them by heart in his head. And he writes, he wrote very fascinating Svarim, on sort of off the beaten path topics, a little bit aside from other Svarim. Anyway, he posits that maybe Chanukah, you know why it doesn't apply to Chanukah, at least today? Because Chanukah is late in the month. Chanukah is the 25th of the month. So by the 25th already, when you're talking about Pesach Sukkah is the 15th, By the 25th already, they knew about it. He quotes a Rashi in Sanhedrin, Arubu Shel Chodesh. He mentions that by the 21st day or so, by the most, once most of the Chodesh had passed, they knew when it was. They found out. However, I should point out, Rav Zevin, who has a discussion about this, Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, has a Sefer Amod in Bahalocha, which I think has been translated into English, the festivals in Halocha, and he discusses this issue in his essay on Hanukkah, or one of his essays on Hanukkah. He discusses the ninth day of Hanukkah, why there's no extra day. And he quotes in a footnote this comment of Reuven Ragos, and he disagrees that that's not what Rashi's talking about, and it's not necessarily true. So the question still is, did it have to keep 2 days? So says the Minchas Chinuch in Source 15, guess what? He says, yes, in the olden days, when there really was a doubt, they did keep an extra day of Hanukkah. Surprise! That's what Minchas Chinuch says. How could they not? You look in its mitzvah Shin Aleph Osvav, Source 15, Enidim Elu, okay, Mishum Sveika the Yom Abdinim of Kavosenu Shnei Yom, Hayim Yom Tov Daraisa. That's the first line. Abdon Kagon Hanukkah, Bivadai, Bizman Shemekachin Al Piriya, Vayushluchin Yotzin Al Hanukkah, Kimur Shas Rosh Hashanah, we just read it. Says the Minchas Chinuch, nothing to talk about, of course. They had to keep an extra day of Hanukkah. Why not? The same way as by Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuot. Savada says the Minchas Chinuch, in the olden days when it was really a suffix, when I lived in a town, I didn't know when Rosh Chodesh Kislev had been declared, and the agents never got there, the Bezdin agents never got there. We were Mesupik, it's like any other holiday. Savada says the Minchas Chinuch, yes, they kept an extra day of Hanukkah, Abdin and Tisha Yomim. Okay, even though it's only a sacred Rabbanon, it doesn't matter. We observe the rabbinic laws also. Okay, now, we'll come back to the other point in a second. Not only that, but the Minchas Chinuch says, look at the last couple of lines of that Minchas Chinuch. He says, and furthermore, Kishiyabana Beis HaMikdash Meher B'Yameinu, V'Noshuv L'Kadesh Al Pi Ra'iyah, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Mitzvah Shem B'Karov, and we'll go back to declaring Rosh Chodesh based on the moon and so on and so forth, Oz HaRachokim, he says, going to come back. And he wasn't aware that we have fax machines and various, you know, again, text messages and cell phones. We can call everybody and let everybody know. And Minchas Chinuch wasn't aware of that. But he says it'll come back. 9 days it'll come back. Okay, when we go back to Kiddush Al Piriyah. So the Minchas Chinuch says nothing to talk about. Avada. Okay, so that's just an interesting point. There's a kasha on that, which I'm not sure I can answer, just to throw it out, Chadar is HaTalmid, in source number 16, the Gemara in Erchin discusses, Daf Yudam and Aleph, what days Hallel are recited. What days? On which days do we recite Hallel? Okay, the full Hallel with the bracha. So it says in Eretz Yisrael, 18 days. The Gemara lists off 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Hanukkah, the first day of Pesach, because the rest of Pesach is a different story, and the first day of Atzeres, that's Shavuos. So you have 18 days on which you say the full Hallel on Eretz Yisrael. Again, 8 days of Sukkot, including Shema Atzeres, 8 days of Hanukkah, that's 16, the first day of Pesach, and the 1 day of Shavuos. And then it says, Uvagola, but in Chutzar, it's 21, because they had the Sukkot of the Yoma. It's 9 days of Sukkot, including what we call Sukkot Torah, the second day of Shema Atzeres, 8 days of Hanukkah, that's 17, the first 2 days of Pesach, that's 19, and 2 days of Shavuos, 21. According to the Minchas Chinuch, it should have said 9 days of Hanukkah, it should have been 22. And this Gemara, the speaker of this Gemara is of Yochanan, the name of Bishum Be'ot Tzadok, so it's a kasha. And I thought that this Gemara should be a little bit of a, at least a little bit of a kasha against the Minchas Chinuch. If the Minchas Chinuch is right, that they originally kept 9 days of Hanukkah, then this Gemara should have said that they had 9 days of Hallel, 9 days of Hanukkah for Hallel too, and the Gemara doesn't say it. Okay, we can think of Terutzim, but just throwing that out. But in any event, getting back to our question, so Minchas Chinuch, Taina's belief, I mean, his lashon is, he doesn't leave it in doubt. I mean, he says, Bevadai. For sure, when there was Kiddush Al Pi Ra'iyah and the outlying districts didn't know, they kept 2 days of Hanukkah. So why don't we do it today? So the Minchas Chinuch already alludes to it himself, and the Avudraham, earlier Rishonim, I brought with me, I'm not going to read inside now to save time, the Kolbo, they basically says, he says, Kosa Baloitim, look at the last source on that page 17, the Avudraham, Loma Ein Osim Tishim E Chanuk Misofei, Kemosh An Osim Chag Sukkot Tisha Yomim, Chi Sofek Shmini, V'tireith V'desha Chag HaSukkot Min HaTorah, V'chmiru Chazal Al Sveiko, L'fish Ein Anu Koven Atal Piri, Aval Chanukah Shmini Vrayim, Heimamu Lasso Shmoneh Chanukah, V'heimamu Cheshmon Vodos Ga'al, Adkan, says the Avudraham and the Kolbo, simple. Let's assume, like the Minchas Chinuch for a second, that when it really was a suffix, they Taka did keep 9 days of Hanukkah. However, in terms of establishing that forever, we know the calendar, like I said before, right? We know, like the Rambam told, we know the Cheshbon today. We're as familiar with the date as they are in Eretz Yisrael. So the Yavud Ram says, they all say, so in terms of establishing it to continue, that they didn't bother to do with the Din D'Rabbanan. They did that with Sukkot, they did it with Pesach, they did it with Shavuos, okay, because those are D'Oraisas. So with the D'Oraisa, they said, keep the old Minig, even though we know the calendar. When it comes to D'Rabbanan, they didn't impose that. Not because they didn't used to do it according to Minchas Chinuch, they taka used to do it. But now that we know the calendar anyways, so with the D'Rabbanan, they weren't too strict. It's going to haim omru, behaim omru. Now, at first glance, we might think that this is similar to the din of Sveika, the Rabbanan, Lakula. Right? We have a Sofek and a din, the Rabbanan, so we can be Mekel. But again, the Minchas Chinuch says they weren't Mekel about it. And the reason may be the following. There's a famous Gemara in Psachim, Source 18. The Gemara talks about the mitzvah. Again, we're going to say it outside to save some time. You can glance at it yourself. The Gemara in Psachim on Daf Kuf Ches, the Gemara discusses the mitzvah of Haseba, reclining on Pesach. So the Gemara, we know we have to recline, we eat the matzah at the Seder. So the Gemara asks, what about when drinking the Arba Kosos? The four cups of wine. You have to recline and drink the four cups of wine also. So the Gemara says there's you have to recline by two of them. The only thing is the Gemara is not clear which two. The first two lists, the Gemara presents the logic for each side. Again, I'm not going to go into it now. We'll review it at the pace of time. The Gemara has logic. Why it should be the first two? Why it should be the last two? So the Gemara says, well, since we're not sure, the Gemara concludes, we'll recline by all four cups. So we're not sure. We know we have to do it by two, just not sure which two. It's the first two or the last two. There's logic on each side. So we recline. That's what we do. We recline by all four. Very nice. So says the Gemara. Ask the Ran in Source 19. Wait a minute. The whole Haseba is a Din de Rabbanan. So we're a Mesupik, Sveika de Rabbanan Lakula. We shouldn't recline at all. What do you mean we recline by all four? We have a suffix about it. So I should take a look. The first two cups, there's a suffix. Sveika de Rabbanan Lakula. I'm not going to recline. Second two cups, there's a suffix. Sveika de Rabbanan Lakula. I'm not going to recline. Why does the Gemara say we recline by all four? So the Ran gives two important answers. And it's important for the sugya of Sveika de Rabbanan Lakula. In general, the first answer the Ran is, because you know what? What's the big deal? You tilt. You know, it's not exactly a tremendous amount of effort and time. You know, it's like I never understood, you know, I'm a pet peeve of mine, so to speak, never, unless someone can explain it to me. You know, you're on a plane, right? And you finally fell asleep, you know, and then they're landing. They make you pull your seat up, right? I mean, if God forbid if there's a crash, I don't see what difference those 5 inches are going to make. I never understood it. But they wake everybody up, you got to put your seat straight. Well, okay, so it's not a big deal. So you do it. So it's the same thing with reclining. That's what the Ron says. So you recline by all four cubs. Big deal. So, you know, we can be machmer. You know, that's an easy chumrah. An easy chumrah. It's not like, you know, Chol Yisrael or something or whatever, you know. It's an easy thing. So you straighten out. You see your clients from a straight position. But the second thing the Ran gives, very important, you saw it also. The Ran says, we can't apply the principle of Sveika Debanu Lakula when doing so is going to eliminate the whole practice. And that's what would happen here. Because we'd say Sveika Debanu Lakula on the first two cups, we wouldn't recline. We'd say Sveika Debanu Lakula on the second two cups, we wouldn't recline. And guess what? There's no Haseba by the Arba Kosos. So the Ran says, when Sveika Debanu Lakula is going to lead us to eliminate the whole practice, then we don't apply the rule. And that's what the Gemara says, you recline by all four. So the same thing here, that's what Turi Evan says. Well, Minchas Chinuch said it too. Minchas Chinuch, the part that I skipped, you can go back and read it. But Turi Evan and Rosh Hashanah says the same thing. So wait a second. You want to say Sveika Debanu Lakula by Hanukkah, right? So now it's the 24th, we're not sure, it's today the 24th or the 25th. So I better be, Sveika Debanu Lakula, I'm not going to observe as Hanukkah. Yeah, but at the end, I'm also going to say Sveika Debanu Lakula, I won't observe that as Hanukkah either. Sveika Debanu Lakula, I'll end up only 7 days of Hanukkah. Right, if I'm going to chop off the suffix at the beginning and chop off the suffix at the end, I end up with nothing. The Michas Chinuch says, the same Shalom by Purim. Purim is also the Rabbanan, right? Purim is not in the Torah. So same Shalom by Purim. I'll say today, maybe the 14th, maybe the 15th of Adar, right? Well, since it's Sheker Rabbanan, I won't read the Megillah. Now the next day, maybe the 15th, maybe the 16th. Well, Sheker Rabbanan, cool, I won't read the Megillah. So end up, you didn't read the Megillah. So whenever, based on this Ran, whenever you have that Sheker Rabbanan Kula is going to cause you to eliminate the mitzvah, then we don't apply it. So therefore, Sheker Rabbanan Kula is not the reason why we don't have the extra day of Hanukkah. It doesn't seem to be based on Sheker Rabbanan Kula. Furthermore, there's an interesting question. In the Gemara in Sukkah, in the source number 21, Mem Vavod Vei is going over to Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. This is the whole question, the whole discussion of sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Okay, anybody who's a Talmud of the Rav Zichron Livracha, Rav Soloveitchik, used to make a big fuss about it. Generally, the Rav always said that you know, you should follow the Minhagim of your family. You would tell the Talmudim not to follow his Minhagim. The Rav had the Minhagim from the Beis Harav, from the Vilna Gaon, and so you tell people you always follow the Minhag of your family. He said two exceptions to rule. One had to do Tefillin, the other one was you got to sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because the Gemara says it. It's an open Gemara, right? That's the last line of that, the whole source 21. Hilchasa meisiv yasvinan bruchelam avarchinam. Right? The halacha is we sit in the sukkah, we don't make a bracha on Shmini Atzeres. We have everything in the sukkah. By the chassidim, those who maybe some of you follow, probably they don't eat at night, but they make kiddush during the day, just kiddush, then go back inside. Right? Different minhagim. Right? That's the old question. How do they justify this Gemara? Right? The Gemara says, Yisus said all kinds of, Tzadok has a whole essay, you know, I don't know, 100 pages, essay to explain that sheet that's based on the Tosfos. There's plenty of basis for it. You know, B'derech Tzach is a joke, they say, the Chassidim read the Gemara like this, Hilchasa, Mesiv Yasvin and Bruchel and Morachina, ? Can you sit in the Sukkah without a Brucha, without saying the Shem Yichud, without saying Hinnu, it's impossible. So therefore, don't sit in the Sukkah. And that's just a cutesy reading. But Lamai said they have basis in Rishonim as well. Different than Hagin. The Rav said you have to follow that Minna. Good, so that's our practice. So Tosis raises the Kasha, so what do we do? Yeah, we sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, and without a Brucha. Most Ashkenazim follow that practice outside of the Chassidic community, and inside them too. So says Tosis, what about Lulav? Why don't we take Lulav as well on Shmini Atzeres? Same Sufik, a Sukkah, right? So we do sit in the Sukkah without a Bracha. Why not take the Lulav on Shmini Atzeres also? We don't do that. That's Tosis' Kasha. So Tosis could have answered, because remember, Lulav passed the first day is only Drabbanah. The Torah only requires Lulav on the first day of Sukkot. Lulav on the rest of the week is Takana B'Yechalim and Zakai Zeichel HaMikdash. So Lulav is only the first day of Yom Tov Daraisa. The rest of the week, Lulav is Drabbanan. Anyways, the Tosfos could have answered, it's only Din Drabbanan, so they didn't impose on Lulav. That's not the answer Tosfos gives. Tosfos gives an answer, had to do with maybe because Shmini Atzeres is Yom Tov, and the Lulav maybe Muktzah, whatever Teretz Tosfos gives. But Tosfos did not answer, it's only Drabbanan. So therefore, again, you see the fact that it's quote-unquote only the Rabbanan is not enough to say that we wouldn't apply the suffix to it. Otherwise, Tosfos could have given that answer. A similar thing, the Mordechai, in source number 23, raised in Maseches Megillah, the question about reading the Megillah 2 days. Same question. Why aren't they 2 days the day of Purim? So again, he didn't just answer, well, because only the Rabbanan. Right, the Mordechai gave a different reason because it'll end up that there's a pasuk below Yavo. You can't have the day of the 15th go by without Megillah reading. 14th go by without Megillah reading. Whatever. So a detail. But again, it didn't just answer the Rabbanan. So maybe from these sources, Mukher, that the fact that it's only the Rabbanan is not enough of a reason to say, well, we don't have to do the extra day. The fact is, the Rabbanan alone, the sake of the Rabbanan, doesn't apply. It doesn't apply because of the Ran's rule. It'll end up eliminating. That's what Tzuri Evin and Chizkinich point out. The Gemara in Sukkah Tosfos didn't give that reason, although you could argue that Lulav is different. You could argue well, Lulav is not really Darabbanan. It is Darabbanan, but fundamentally it's Daraisa. It's based on a Daraisa. So maybe Lulav is different. Purim, you could also argue, is different, because although it's not in the Torah, but it is in Tanakh. It's what we call Divrei Kabbalah. When Chazal speak about Divrei Kabbalah, they're not talking about mysticism. They're talking about that Kabbalah. They're talking about Divrei Kabbalah means from the Navi, from the Nevi'im. So maybe you could bring a Rai. You could say, no, something's Darabbanan, pure Chanukah is a pure Darabbanan. Mashainu Kain Lulav, the rest of the week of Sukkot, or Megillah and Purim may not be a pure Drabbanan, so maybe you can bring a Raya. But in any event, the bottom line would seem to be very simple. It's not a din in Sveika Drabbanan Lakulav, but rather it's a din. On a din Drabbanan, they didn't impose the Yontif, the extra day of Yontif. That's how the Gemara Menachos implies. In the next source, the Gemara Menachos is about eating Chadosh. You're not allowed to eat Chadosh until, Chadosh means the new grain that grew in the spring. So you're not allowed to eat the new grain that grew in the spring until the carbon, what's called the carbon omer, is brought on the second day of Pesach. Okay, the second day of Pesach is the 16th of Nisan. So until the 16th of Nisan, you couldn't eat any new grain that grew from that spring's harvest. Special din, that's the Isser of Chodesh. Today it's very popular. That's why Russian bakeries become more and more popular in Eretz Yisrael. You have to do it. The question about Chutzor, it's Machokas, and Vilna Gaon is very insistent that you follow it. So many of the Talmud of Vilna Gaon, and now it's become very popular to be Choshesh for this, even Chutzor. It's the Bach and others disagree. So it doesn't apply in Chutzor, the whole Shir by itself. But anyway, so the question is, what about, it was the 16th of Nisan, yeah? Now, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, so you just had to wait for the day of the 16th of Nisan. You don't have to wait for the Korban, just wait for the day itself. So what about in Chutz Laaretz? Would you keep a Sveik of the Yoma on that? Would you keep a Sveik of the Yoma on the 16th of... So that, again, that depends whether you hold this Daraisa or Darabanan, says the Gemara. If the Chodosh is in Chutz Laaretz, is also Daraisa, then you have to treat it the Chumrah. If it's Darabanan, you can be Mekel, and not because of Sveik of Darabanan, I think, but because they just didn't extend it to a Din Darabanan. Just mention, I mean, there's more to say about that issue also with regards to Hanukkah. I don't want to mention that. I just want to mention one thought that maybe they didn't impose the lighting of Hanukkah candles because Misafek, what are you going to do exactly? How many candles are you going to light? What are you going to do? You're going to light, have two menorahs, one for it's the third night, or maybe the fourth night. Have one menorah with three candles, one menorah with four candles. It's a little confusing. It's reminiscent of the comment of the Dvar Avram, which says regards to Sfiras Omer. very powerful kasha. The Balamor has the kasha. How come when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, we in Chutzlars don't count tonight's the first night, tonight's the second night, or tonight's the 23rd night, tonight's the 24th? We're not sure, right? We had a suffix. There are many answers. That's a different. Balamor in the end of Pesachim, the last Balamor in Pesachim, raises that kasha. One of the answers, the Devar Avram, for Avram was the Rav from Kovno, who gave, when the Rav Zichron Brachon of Salavetcher came to America, he tried out for a rabbinical position, so the board wanted to see a letter to make sure he was a qualified rabbi. So his father, Moshe Salavetcher, said, you know, but what father doesn't say his son is a genius? So they didn't want to trust that, so they said they wanted an independent letter. So the Dvar Avram wrote a letter, you know, and I guess somewhat of an irony of history, wrote, Halacha kemosu b'chol mokom. Halacha follows whatever he says. Anyway, very glowing letter. So Dvar Avram writes in his tshuva, because Sfiras HaOmer, you have to count. Counting means you know what you're doing. If I say tonight is the third, tonight is the fourth, that's not called counting. Right? How much money have you? I don't know. I have 25, I have 26. I need to know exactly how, exact change only. So when you count, you have to know exactly. So perhaps you can say the same thing with regards to Hanukkah. I'm not going to read those last couple of sources now because it's not much like Hanukkah. I just want to end to give a little twist with regards to, they printed the Dvar Avram here. I see in source 31. The next page, printed out of the place. But okay, look at the last page and we'll finish Mamish in 2 minutes. I apologize, Rabbi Haim, we're just wrapping up. We'll have a twist that relates to today, Tasar B'Tavis. Right, the pasuk. So how do we know today's a fast day? So it's a pasuk in Zechariah Parakhes, pasuk Yud Tes. Komar Shen Tzvokos. We actually alluded to it in the slichos from this morning. Tzom Haraviv, Tzom Hachamishi, Tzom Hashvi, Tzom Asi Yelabes Yehuda, L'Sasson L'Simcha L'Madim Tovim V'Emes L'Shalom Ahavu. Right, that's the pasuk in Zechariah where all four fast days. Again, Yom Kippur is a separate category. On one end, Tanis Esther is a separate category. On a different end, the four fasts that we observe. Tzom HaRavi, that's the fourth month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tamuz, that's what we call Shavuot B'Tamuz. Tzom HaChamishi, Tishrei B'Av, Tzom HaShvi is in Tishrei, that's Tzom Gedalia, we call it. And Tzom HaAsiri, that's Asar B'Teves, according to what we pass in Machlokas Nagmar. And in the future will be Yimei Sosan B'Simcha. So ask the Minchas Chinuch. Same Minchas Chinuch. Remember, the Minchas Chinuch said before, for sure, they kept 9 days of Hanukkah in the old days. They said, we're going to go back to that. So the Minchas Chinuch discusses, it's Kedai to read, it's just late time I can read inside. The Minchas Chinuch says, so La'asid Lavo, when Asar B'Teves will be a Yontif, Meher B'Amen will be a Yontif, so he says, Taka, the people living far away will have to keep 2 days of Asar B'Teves. As a Yontif, as a fast, impose 2 days of a fast is Xerish and Atzibi Ochal. I can't tell people to fast for 2 days in a row. That's too much. Even if fast 1 week, the post can discuss some Gedalia in his proximity. Yom Kippur, that's hard. Imagine telling people to keep 2 days of fast. That you can't do. But, says the Minchas Chinuch, when some Gedalia turns into, like the post says, Yil Abay Sihud, Lassasan, Lassimcha, Ulamadim Tovim, it'll be good days. So then Taka says the Minchas Chinuch, guess what? Outside of the Eretz Yisrael, I have to keep. They reject that because he says no, because we noticed the pasuk never gives a date. It just calls it Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the 10th month. It doesn't say which date. In fact, the Marashah Machlokas, which date it is, the 5th or the 10th, a different discussion. But it says, Lamaisa, once you did it once, you're okay. But at least he entertains the possibility. And that's the Chassam Sofer in his tshuva, and last, the source number 30, Chelik Archaim Sim Kuf Mem Hey, the Chassam Sofer says, guess what? La'asid Lavo in Chutzlaretz will also continue to keep 2 days and say about Hanukkah or the Dravana. We'll keep 2 days of Yantav, but we won't call it Yantav Sheni Shal Goyus anymore. We'll call it Yom Tobim Shal Geula. Not Yantav Sheni Shal Goyus, but Yantav Sheni Shal Geula. Again, these posts can assume that they didn't know about the advances in communication that would take place. It'll be Yom Tovim Shal Geula. So again, Ayotz Midvareinu is that Lamaisa, when it comes to the rabbinic days, right, the rabbinic holidays, the rabbinic fast days, so we don't have an extra day, not because of Sveika Dabana Lekula, and the truth is, according at least to Minchas Chinuch, when there really was a suffix that had to keep the extra day, they didn't impose that on us as a Rabbanan, because kind of like a Heimam or a Heimam, they established this is Hanukkah, and they were aware of the Sveik of the Yom problem, but they didn't establish it would have to keep the Leolam Vod as a commemoration. They only made the commemoration by the Dinim Daraisa. Whether the Minchas Chinuch is correct, you know, an interesting question. Whether Lasid Lavo will have, Mitzvah Shem will have, Asar B'Tavis will be Yom Shel Simcha, and at least as a possible position to keep 2 days, that we'll have to wait and see. Meher V'Amenu. Thank you. Yom Kippur, the big discussion. Yom Kippur, I didn't get to speak about Yom Kippur at all. Yom Kippur is a very important discussion, but basically it was, so the Gemara says that Elul, they always was never a 30-day month, or they went out Piro, and it was too difficult. The one time we found that people did fast 2 days Yom Kippur, certain Jews that went to the Mir, when the Mir Yeshiva, to Shanghai, when they ran away, and it was issued with the international dateline, the different Shia by itself, they sent the Shalat Chazon Ish, but some, he passed in which day to fast, but some say, some act people fast actually 2 days. That's Yom Kippur. Yeah, someone else had a question. Yeah. Right. Right. So much right.
You learn about the nature.
The hollow. Yeah. Oh, the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, oh, that Tesvav. Right. Right. I mean, it's a machol whether it's neshima achas neshima. Right. Disagrees. Yeah. Yeah. That could be. That also may be what the definition of a shvarim is it one kol or two kol? A different shia. The chazonish mishmar. When neshima achas means you actually have to breathe and make a interruption or not. But that may or may not be the same issue. So.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
The only reason they have children is because of the pussy.
Love of them, because we go back to the fire system.
Yeah, the fire system is instantaneous.
Right, they knew right away. Go. Okay, I'm sorry for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.